When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Question. I have a question. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the state of Georgia. Glad to have you joining me this morning. And I got a question. I got a question. And you can feel free to call me if you want. My phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Question, where is the blood on Brian Kemp's hands? Has anyone seen the blood on Brian Kemp's hands? Because I was told that today would be the day we would see the blood on Brian Kemp's hands. We are 2 weeks now removed. We are officially now 2 weeks removed from the state beginning to reopen and people beginning to move out of their houses. Where is the blood on Brian Kemp's hands? I was told there would be blood. And if I want to see blood, I got to watch that movie. You know the movie. What is it? There Will Be Blood. There's no blood. The number of people in hospitals in Georgia for COVID-19 continues to go down. The number of new daily infections continues to go down. The number of people dying continues to go down. The state is headed in the right direction. There are pockets of increase in the state. We know where those pockets of increase are. We know why they are happening. We know what to do to contain them. We have hospital capacity in the state. If the numbers surge again, people are headed out of their houses. Where is the blood on Brian Kemp's hands? The national media told us we were all going to die in 2 weeks after Brian Kemp reopened the state. We are now 2 weeks from Brian Kemp reopening the state. Where are all the dead bodies? In fact, hang on a second. Let me step away from the microphone real quick. I'm sorry. I needed to look out. There are no vultures in the sky this morning hovering around the dead bodies. I don't see them there. Let me look out. I can't even see a cloud. There are no vultures. Where are all the dead bodies? Now, we may get a surge. We may get an increase. In fact, the governor says there probably will be an increase, but that's been the whole point the whole time. Is that we're going to see the numbers probably go back up some of people who get the virus. But we have the hospital capacity and the bed space and the ICU capacity to deal with the issue. The belly aching from so many people is a little bit of a silly, nonsensical thing. Now, the governor had a press conference yesterday. And what he said is that bars and nightclubs have to stay closed till the end of the month. Now, there's a reason for this. There are actually a couple of reasons for this. Number one, bars, nightclubs, and live music venues, it's hard to get people when they're drinking to socially distance. And we still need people to socially distance. You still need to be wearing a mask on. By the way, so I'm seeing this thing. There's this thing that blew up last night with one of the common good conservative types. You know, so there's this conservatism isn't good enough for some people anymore. And they've decided we need to reinvent it as common good conservatism, which is big government conservatism, which is the big government gets to tell you how to live your life in a way that's good for everyone else around you. And the rest of us would call this big government nanny statism. And they say, no. It's one size fits all conservatism. We can't have regionalism. We can't have federalism. We have to have the nanny state in Washington tell us what to do, and we comply with it, and it is conservatism. They can't really tell us what it means beyond that, but it's common good conservatism. And I see one of the leaders of the common good conservatism online last night saying wearing a mask is cowardice. You wear a mask out of fear. Why are you wearing a mask? Wearing a mask is ridiculous. We should defy any law that tells us to wear a mask. Y'all, those of you who know anything about guns, which is probably 3/4 to 9/10 of my audience, which reminds me, I got to go to Barrow Automotive and buy me a new gun. just because. Got to help the economy, you know. If you don't know where Barrow Automotive is, you need to educate yourself. But nonetheless, most of you have guns. Why don't you put your finger on the trigger when you have a gun? Why do you keep your... I mean, if you've gone through a gun safety class, they teach you not to keep your finger casually on the trigger. Why? Why? Is it because you're scared of the gun? You don't put your finger on the trigger because you're scared. You're a fearful little worrywart. No, you don't do it because it's good gun safety. You don't do it because of respect for people around you. You don't do it because accidents can happen. Same thing with the mask. People aren't wearing a mask because they're scared. People aren't wearing a mask because they fear getting sick. No, you get the mask on because about half the people who get this virus will never even know they've had it, and they spread it to other people who die. Did you hear about the woman in Great Britain? She was a railroad worker. Some guy got mad at her because he wasn't doing what she wanted him to do to comply with social distancing and wearing a mask, and he spit in her face and said he had the virus. She's dead. Yep, she died of the virus. Guy actually did give it to her. Reminds me of the bus driver in Chicago who the woman started berating him for not socially distancing. He made her get off the bus. She had the virus. He died. The bus driver did. She lived. He died. You don't. You wear the mask to be socially responsible. You don't have to wear the mask everywhere, but if you go into the grocery store and there's a bunch of people, do it. You go into the grocery store, there's nobody around, don't worry about it. You're in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, don't necessarily worry about it. They got themselves covered up themselves. You're good. But it's about you accidentally transmitting the virus, not even knowing you're sick to other people. That's how the virus is spreading so much, because you start becoming contagious well before you know you're sick. And in many cases, you never know you're sick. But this whole idea of the mass social irresponsibility is nonsensical to me. It's crazy that the common good conservatives are the ones out there saying don't wear the mask. Turns out they're all just a bunch of libertarians, which suggests they won't be very successful with advance anything. No offense to my libertarian friends, but when's the last time any of you guys actually got elected to something substantive? But, okay, seriously, though, where's the blood on Brian Kemp's hands? Because we were told that everyone was going to die, and we didn't. Now, he came out yesterday with his press conference. Bars and nightclubs, you got to stay closed. Live venues, stay closed, because as I said, when you're drinking, you're not socially distancing. You're having a good time. And those seem to be in the places that have reopened and saw rebounds. That seems to be a big factor in the rebound, is the social interactions with people who have been drinking tends to help spread the virus. So those are going to be closed. Restaurants, though, can add more people. You'll now be able to have tables up to 10 from 6 to 10, and you'll be able to have more people in your restaurant. People still got to be socially distanced, but you can add more people per square foot to your restaurant, which is a good thing. Overnight summer camps, gone. Can't happen this summer, at least not yet. They'll look at them again at the beginning of the month, the beginning of June, but right now, gone. But day camps, you will be able to ship your kid off for a day somewhere. You just won't be able to keep them there overnight. The data in Georgia, we will probably see a bit of a spike. And in certain areas of the state, we for sure will see bits of spikes. We've seen this up in Gainesville with the poultry producers. We will probably see this in some other parts of the state. But overall, the data is good in the state of Georgia. We have more available hospital space now than at any time. We have fewer people in hospitals today with the virus than at any time since the major flare-up in Daugherty County. We have fewer dead people per day than at any time. We have fewer daily new cases. We're doing well as a state, and people are doing what they need to do. People are still managing to be socially distant from one another. There are 273,904 total tests given so far. A major skyrocket, because this time last week, if you'll recall, this time last week, we were barely over... right at 200,000. We've gone up 73,904 since then, which is great. 35,247 new cases, about 1,000 new cases reported. 6,228 total hospitalizations, That number is stabilizing. The daily rate is actually really good. The daily rate continues to show Georgia is doing what it needed to do. The projections, the seven-day moving average continues to decline for the state. You know, you can go now on the state and see the 70 moving average for every individual county. Let's do Floyd County real quick. In Floyd County, wow, Floyd County, you're just, wow, you nosedived. You spiked and then you went down. That's great. You've got April 27th was your high day. You had four cases. Let's see, May 1st, you had three cases. May 3rd, you had one case. Now, that'll still go up some, but that's great news. You're headed in the right direction in Floyd County. What about deaths in Floyd County? You haven't had anybody die since April 25th. You had one death on April 25th. You had two deaths on April 23rd. You're not having a lot of deaths in Floyd County. Now, what about, let's do Habersham County. Let's do Habersham County. In Habersham County, your cases, you haven't crashed as much as Floyd. Your 70 moving average doesn't look as good. There's been a slight uptick, 28 confirmed cases on April 29th. But your peak was April 20th of 28. You had a spike on the 28th, but otherwise you've had a downward trajectory, which is good. Your 70 moving average is still headed in the right direction. What about deaths? You had a death on the 1st. You had a death on the 27th, a death on the 28th. You've had no deaths since the 29th. So you've been good. You had two people die on the 24th. One last one. I can't do them all, but I'm going to do three of them to give you a sense of it. In Bibb County, where I am. In Bibb County, they said we would not hit our peak until mid-May. We're at mid-May. And we're not near the highs that we were on April 9th, there were 42 confirmed cases. On April 27th, there were 26. On April 29th, there were three. What about deaths? Deaths, the spike came April 28th. That was the peak day for deaths. That was three. On the 29th, one. And thereafter, none. So, it looks like the state is actually doing what the state needs to do. It looks like the people of the state are doing what they need to do. And that's the incumbent thing here, is that you as a people are going to be more responsible for whether the virus spreads or not than the governor letting you out of your house. There's still no reason for you to go out willy-nilly. Go out and grocery shop. Now you can go to a restaurant with friends of yours who you trust or are good friends, and you're not out and about in crowds. Stay out of the crowds. Limit where you're going. But y'all, we were told on April 20th, when the governor, or April 21st, the governor had his press conference and said that shelter in place would expire on April 29th, or April 30th, rather. People would be allowed out of their houses at midnight. The week before that, barber shops and tattoo parlors could reopen, and everyone said nationally, the governor is going to kill us all. And now we've got two polls out. By the way, there's a third poll out. This poll is from a Republican firm friendly to the governor that says 51% of the state approves of what he's doing. They're the accurate pollster that actually got everything right when it came to whether or not reopening was good. But there are a series of national polls out that look like the governor's just doom and gloom. Democrats are mad at him for opening early. Republicans are mad at him for ever closing. But the data has been on the governor's side. Will there be an increase in Georgia? Yes. There will probably be an increase in the virus in Georgia as more and people get out of their houses and more people reduce their guard, let their guard down and start going out. There will probably be some more cases. But not the spikes we saw, and where there are spikes, we know where they're coming from and how to contain them. This is really good news for the state of Georgia, y'all. This is good news. People are doing what they need to do. The governor was guided by the data. Contrary to what so many people in the media said, the governor was actually guided by the data. He was actually guided with Dr. Kathleen Toomey to reopen the state of Georgia. The state is slowly reopening. Do you know that the New York Times today says that it looks like we are at the peak of job losses, that we will not see major spikes in job losses from here on out, the economy beginning to slowly recover. And by the way, you know, you've still got PPP out there. If you need PPP for your business, Check my friends at First Liberty Building and Loan in Noonan. There's still money in the program, which is actually a good sign that there has not been a major rush on more money, even as Congress is prepared to add more money to it now. If you need it, go to FirstLibertyGA.com. That's their website at First Liberty of Georgia. You can actually click on the website. You can apply. There's an apply now button. You can apply on their website, and they can help you. If you're listening to me anywhere in the United States, they can help you. It doesn't just have to be in Georgia. Anywhere in the United States, you need PPP. They're a small business lender. They've been doing it since the early 90s. First Liberty Building and Loan in Noonan. I've sent a number of people there now, and all of them have gotten PPP. Now, here's the thing. They can't guarantee it, but they want to do their best. You got to get your payroll paperwork in order. Anything that proves your payroll, your quarterly filings, whatever, you need to get it in order. But if your business needs PPP, go to FirstLibertyGA.com, click the Apply Now button, and get it done. The economy is rebounding. The money is there. It looks like the job losses have slowed. The state is reopening. The virus continues to slow down in the state. Warm weather is upon us. That's going to be a good sign. There's a lot of good news out there, and we should not get bogged down in daily death tolls and avoid pointing out that we are headed in the right direction as a state.
Want to be on the show? Call Eric now at 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I want you to go get a bottle of Mrs. Griffin's barbecue sauce. You can go to MrsGriffins.com if you want. The reason being is because you can buy two, get one free, and you need it. You know, I actually had a listener who emailed me overnight Sunday who got a bottle of Mrs. Griffin's barbecue sauce for Mother's Day because that's what she wanted because I said it was good, and it is. I don't say it's good because I'm getting paid to say it. I say it's good because we use it in our house. In fact, I got my Rec-Tec smoker, y'all. It showed up. It actually showed up in the last half hour of this program yesterday, and I did not bail on you and all of a sudden throw on a best of. I waited until the show was over, and then I went outside and I put my Rec-Tec RT700, the bull, together. I got to say something. All right. I'm deeply impressed already with this machine. I actually am. But man, the instructions were terrible. So, okay. Excuse me. That was terribly unprofessional, me coughing towards the microphone. So I get this. I get this. I get this grill, and it comes with all these pieces, and then it has a box of screws, and it has labels for the screws. Like there's the large bolts are like A, the small bolts are B, the small washers are C, the large washers are D, and the like. You get it. There's no reference to them in the instructions. None. There is no reference to what washers and bolts and nuts to use. I was just beside, like, where is it? And then I wound up missing four screws, but they were very nice. I called them and they directed me to a YouTube video that shows you and shows you pictures. It doesn't give you the letters of the nuts and bolts to put together, but it shows you a picture. And then they overnighted me. In fact, it'll be here in the next hour. I just got an email from UPS. In the next hour, I'll get the four screws that were missing. Nonetheless, I was already impressed with it yesterday. Yes, I'm going to have a small segue here into why I chose Rec-Tec over Traeger or anything else. This isn't an ad. They're not even paying me. Apparently, Glenn Beck is doing a giveaway with the Rec-Tec people, but not me. Nonetheless, okay, so why? I have had a Big Green Egg for years. I got to figure out what to do with it now, but I've had a Big Green Egg for years, and I love my Big Green Egg. But I'm at the point now where I know how to use the Big Green Egg. I don't use it for grilling. I only use it for smoking. So I wanted something with larger capacity that I didn't have to fiddle with as much. I can just set it and forget it, so to speak. And with a pellet grill, you can. But let's say I do want to grill on it. A Traeger cannot get as hot as a Rec-Tec. Rec-Tec actually gets hotter than other pellet grills out there, including a Yoder. It gets hotter than those other grills. So you can get up to 560 degrees. You can actually sear a steak. It comes with searing rods you can get. To make sure that you're able to do it well, you can use a cast iron skillet if you want. But it also gets really slow. One of the criticisms of a pellet grill is you don't get the same wood smoke flavor that you do from a Big Green Egg or a whole wood smoker. because the pellets don't produce as much. With the Rectech, it actually can hold a temperature at 180 and generate a lot of smoke. So your first hour, you can smoke something at 180 and make it very smoky and then raise the heat to 225. And it's not as smoky thereafter, and it holds its heat. The other great thing about the Rectech as opposed to the Traeger is I can increase and decrease temperature by 5-degree increments, which is great. I can bake bread on it and stuff like that. So I'm very impressed with the machine. It was a pain in the butt to put it together because the directions weren't fantastic. But once you got it together, and I can control it remotely with my cell phone if I wanted to, it has an app. You can turn it on while you're out on the lake fishing and then come home and it's hot and ready to go. We'll be back with actual news and no more grilling. It is Eric Erickson here, and I will take your phone calls. I can, if you want me to. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Okay. Now, we need to discuss polling. Oh, the polls. There are a series of polls out in Georgia from Republican groups. And those Republican groups are at odds with each other. The Speaker of the House of Representatives has a poll out showing that the governor sucks and he's awesome. The governor now has a poll out showing that the governor is not great, but he's okay. He's 51% support, 48%. Everyone strongly has a strong opinion on whether or not to support the governor or whatnot. Here's the thing that all the polls agree on. And by the way, there's a media poll out that also shows Governor Kemp has been hit. Hang on a second. I apologize. I should have done this sooner. As you see, I'm going to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Where is the... yes, here we go. The poll is conducted by Public Opinion Strategies, which is actually a good poll. Let me give you some of the data here from Public Opinion Strategies. Let me see if I can zoom in here and get you the methodology. Yeah, Glenn Bolger is good, and he's one of the pollsters who has been done in the past. Look. This is different. Now, why is this different? This is actually a credible poll because this was a phone poll. This was a poll with people by phone. This was not a, remember the poll that the Speaker of the House released was text message. It was online polling and text message and robocall. This was actually a poll of people with cell phones, a statewide telephone survey, which means they called cell phones, which means this is a more accurate poll than what the Speaker of the House released to slam Brian Kemp and Kelly Loeffler. And this poll actually shows that Governor Kemp, let me read you, a slim majority, 51% approve of Kemp's decision in April to allow some shuttered businesses to reopen, 47% disagree. A higher number, 58%, back his move to lift the shelter-in-place order for most Georgians, 41% disapprove. So more people want to get out of the house than go to businesses. And guess what? It looks like that is translated into the real world. I mean, have y'all been out and seen? There are definitely more people out, but still not a ton of people. Donald Trump has a slight intensity advantage over Joe Biden, with 43% of voters saying they'll definitely vote for him, compared with 39% who vote for the Democrat, but they're otherwise tied. Three quarters of voters agree with this statement. Even though I am going to continue staying at home, giving certain businesses the right to reopen, as long as they follow strict health measures like wearing masks, limiting customers, and practicing social distancing is the right thing to do. On testing, Georgians are split over whether they will take a test as soon as possible or only if necessary, 43 to 44. 6% said they'll never take a test. Two-thirds say they're worried about someone in their family getting the virus. 44% say they know someone who's been affected. Now, here's more of it. Loeffler is at 18% in this poll, with Doug Collins at 19% and Matt Lieberman at 17%. Raphael Warnock, backed by the National Democrats, is at 9%, and he just got his divorce through, by the way. David Perdue is 43-41 against John Ossoff. Shane Hazel, the Libertarian, has 7% of the vote. 8% are undecided. Biden is at 47%. Trump is at 46%. Now, here's the thing. There are a couple of things to keep in mind. Obviously, the governor's team wanted this poll out there to combat the one pushed by the Speaker of the House that used text messaging, which is not an accurate survey form, but the Speaker of the House wanted to do damage to the governor and to Kelly Loeffler. It really had more to do with Loeffler than the governor. Remember that in the Speaker's polling, Kelly Loeffler, the current senator from Georgia, was way behind Doug Collins. She was in single digits, and Collins was crushing the field, which didn't really strike anybody as right because there had been a lot of private polling done. And I was told that there was a private poll done by the governor's team that actually showed that. And I don't think this is it because this poll is too new. But they clearly wanted to get a poll out that showed that the garbage poll from the state House Republicans designed to hurt Kelly Loeffler and the governor was wrong. Now, why would David Ralston want to hurt his own governor? After all, he stood there at the press conference with the governor saying it was time to reopen. Well, you got to remember there are big fights to come. Democrats in the House of Representatives in Georgia are trying to get a hate crimes bill through because of the Ahmaud Arbery situation. Now, I am opposed to hate crimes legislation because it's a thought crime. When you kill someone, the odds are you hate that person to begin with. So why tack on a hate crime to it? A hate crime just adds one more way for a prosecutor to go after you. And what they're going after you for are your thoughts. And we should not criminalize thoughts. However bad your thoughts are, thoughts should not be criminalized. And a hate crime is a thought crime. And we should not be criminalizing people's bad thoughts. We should criminalize what they actually do. And we can let a jury take into account with sentencing if someone is doing something because of what their motives are. But adding a thought crime to it, I think it's wrong. And I've got friends of mine who have come around on the idea of hate crimes. I am unpersuaded. I think it's a thought crime. And I do not think that under our constitutional system, we should be criminalizing thoughts. But the Speaker of the House needs to stay in power with the Democrats. He's got to have Democrats support him to stay in power. And so the Speaker wants hate crimes legislation. So he's trying to build momentum for that and for other things. He also, you will recall, doesn't want to give teachers a pay raise. So the Speaker needs to show he's got more clout than the governor on that. And he also wants to get through a bunch of other stuff in addition to taking out some of the anti-corruption candidates in the state like Philip Singleton and put in some more of his apologists in the state legislature. So he's got to show that he's got more power in the state right now. And to do that, he's got to release a poll. And so he did. And the media, of course, ran with it, never paying attention to the methodology, which was terrible. Text messaging as a poll? Seriously? Online polling and text messaging combined for a poll? It's embarrassing. But the media ran with it exactly as they expected. Now, the governor had to release his poll to show he's doing well. But one of the interesting things here, and I am led to believe, I have not seen it. Sometimes I get shown these things, sometimes I don't. This is one of the times I was not shown this. I am led to believe there is actually other polling out there that shows very similar to this, that a slight majority of Georgians are okay with the governor reopening the state slowly. A large majority of Georgians aren't going to go out and about. And Doug Collins is doing well, but not as well as some polls would have him do. Doug Collins, and I'll get into more of the Doug Collins-Kelly Loeffler race in the next hour, but Collins is continuing to pick up support. I'm not sure at this point what the campaign is, what the campaign play is for Loeffler. The governor, I have maintained all along, I'll support her because the governor picked her. I don't know her. I do know Doug Collins, and I like him tremendously, and he'd be great, but I give the governor the benefit of the doubt on this, but it looks like a lot of people aren't. What they are giving him the benefit of the doubt on is reopening to a degree, but it's very interesting when you delve into the polling. The governor of Georgia is being punished by some Republicans because they are resentful that he ever closed up shop to begin with. And he's being punished by a large number of Democrats who are upset he opened at all. It is a no-win situation for the governor. And if anything, I think you give him some credit for trying to reopen at a time when a lot of people have been telling him no, and he looked at the data, he talked to his advisors, and they said, yeah, give it a try. And he is, And thus far, it seems to be working. Now, that gets me to Dr. Fauci's testimony yesterday in Congress. He had a big interaction with Rand Paul. And Rand Paul made a very good point. I don't want to go into the audio of Rand Paul because it was about 7 minutes long. And this is my show. Rand Paul can get his own show. I say that, Jessa. Look, I like Rand Paul tremendously. And he made a great point. And I think I disagreed with him to some degree in that there are big questions now. What all did Dr. Fauci get wrong? And I want to defend Dr. Fauci. And I realize I'm going against many of you as well who are blowing up Dr. Fauci. He was only as wrong as the data was and only as right as the data was. And as the data shifted, he shifted. And I think that's what he, as an epidemiologist, needs to do. As a doctor, he needs to do. He specializes in communicable infectious diseases. He has been advising presidents since Ronald Reagan. He is not a partisan, but his job is health. This is what's happening and what is part of my frustration with the attacks on Dr. Fauci. President Trump is listening to Dr. Fauci. He's listening to Dr. Fauci over his economic team. To the extent that Dr. Fauci is asked to advise the president, he's asked to advise the president on epidemiology. And so he's giving the president his answers on epidemiology. If the president wants to go about opening the economy, he needs to talk to the economist, not to Dr. Fauci. And then consult with Dr. Fauci, who says, okay, doctor, I understand you don't want us to do this, but if we were to do it, what should we do? That's not the way the game's being played. And he's being made to be the bad guy by a bunch of people who never thought we should have sheltered in place to begin with. Let me play some of his testimony from yesterday.
Thank you, Dr. Redfield. I have a final question for each of our great witnesses today, and it's one that my constituents often ask me.
Now, I got to pause here because that is Kelly Loeffler, and if it sounds echoey, it is because that is the nature of the call. It was done by live streaming with Dr. Fauci. You do need to know that, but this is Senator Loeffler asking him a question.
The mainstream media, and indeed some of my colleagues in the Senate, seem to want to paint each of your relationships with our president during this wartime effort as confrontational and lacking consensus. Can you categorically say here to the American people today, whether this is true or untrue, from your testimony today, I've seen a very coordinated effort to address this with the administration to combat this pandemic. Can you give me a sense of whether this characterization is whether it's true or untrue? Thank you. I'd ask Dr. Fauci to answer that first.
Yes, no, there is certainly not a confrontational relationship between me and the president. As I've mentioned many times, I give advice, opinion based on evidence-based scientific information. He hears that, he respects it, he gets opinions from a variety of other people, but in no way, in my experience over the last several months, has there been any confrontational relationship between us.
Thank you, Dr. Redfield. Dr. Hahn.
Again, I would echo what Dr. Fauci said. We're there to give our best public health advice, and that's what we do. Grounded in data and science. I've always felt free to give the best public health advice that I think needs to be given at the time. And it's always been done in a very professional way.
Senator Loeffler, this is Steve Hahn. I do not have a confrontational relationship, have not had a confrontational relationship with the president. He asks questions. I have given him my honest answers rooted in data and science. And he has listened respectfully to those, incorporating that into his decision-making.
And Brett Joy, I have nothing else but to echo my colleagues. We work very closely together, all the scientists, all the physicians, of course, Ambassador Burks, other scientists within our group. We have a very productive working relationship with each other and also with the president and vice president. It would not be confrontational, and I certainly feel that we have the ability to honestly state our opinions and recommendations, and that's been that way since the beginning.
Okay, first of all, I can't help but note that Kelly Loeffler's voice there is kind of like the dystopian robot voice you hear in sci-fi movies.
Thank you, Dr. Redfield. I have a final question.
I'm sorry. I know it's not her fault, but I'm just in there listening. I'm like, where have I heard this before? Total Recall, I think? But, you know, I'm glad she asked the question, got it on the table. And this gets to the point where Rand Paul's right. Dr. Fauci should not be the final authority on reopening the government of the United States and the businesses of the United States and the economy of the United States. He should not be the final authority. And to the extent he is, it's because the president is letting him be. All his job is to do is to answer the health questions as an expert, answer those questions. And what this shows, and you know, this is something that the Democrats are ignoring about the president. That the president continues to let Dr. Fauci lead on this suggests they actually are letting Dr. Fauci and the experts do their work. You know, we've heard so long that the experts are being ignored by this White House, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reason there's so much anger at Dr. Fauci is because the president is letting him be. He's letting him work. He's listening to him. That's completely different from what you hear in the media. And I guess to some extent, the Republicans get it, and they're trying to signal that, Mr. President, you don't need to listen to this guy anymore. We need to reopen the economy. But the president has taken it slow here. Yes, he wants the economy to reopen, but he also knows that if the virus rebounds, he's going to lose in November. So he's letting Fauci do his work. And poor Fauci's caught in the middle. I do not think he's a bad guy. And I really do think that you've got to recognize that the man is doing what he was trained to do. And he's an expert in that regard.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday.
How is it already the end of the first hour? And by the way, my RecTech parts just showed up. Excellent company. I'm impressed. How is this the end of the first hour? Apparently it is. One more clip from Dr. Fauci, please.
Are we fearful that if we don't get our act together, as bad as the situation is now, it could become worse in the fall or winter?
Well, Senator, thank you for that question. It's a frequently asked question. And I think that possibility does exist. However, and the reason I say that is that when you talk about, will this virus just disappear? And as I've said publicly many times, that is just not going to happen because it's such a highly transmissible virus. And even if we get better control over the summer months, it is likely that there will be virus somewhere in this on this planet that will eventually get back to us. So my approach towards the possibility of a rebound and a second wave in the fall is that A, it's entirely conceivable and possible that it would happen, but B, I would hope that between now and then, given the capability of doing the testing that you've heard from Admiral Giroir and the ability of us to stock up on personal protective equipment and the workforce that the CDC under Dr. Redfield will be putting forth to be able to identify, isolate, and contact trace, I hope that if we do have the threat of a second wave, we will be able to deal with it very effectively to prevent it from becoming an outbreak, not only worse than now, but much, much less.
You know, that's the thing. The data. The data suggests that by August or September, we will have more information, more resources, and we will have more opportunity to combat the virus if it rebounds. And by the way, there continues in Europe, as more and more studies come out, there continue to be signs that show that kids aren't getting the virus. There are some kids who are getting something like Kawasaki syndrome, which can be fought. Is a very serious condition, but overwhelmingly are fine and don't transmit it to adults. This is a disease that is more dangerous the older you get or the more unhealthy you get. You know, by the way, as someone who is now having to watch what I eat and exercise and try to lose weight, which sucks, but I got to. I'm amazed that there hasn't been more coming out from people demanding that people lose weight. I realize we're in this day and age where fat shaming and body shaming is a bad thing. As someone who is overweight and needs to lose weight and has been going to the gym, man, I am so ready to get back to the gym next week. It's just something that's got to be done. And the data on this virus shows that the heavier you are, the worse health you are, the worse you do with the virus. The greatest thing that any of us could do to help fight this virus is to get in shape, lose weight and get in shape. And no one wants to raise that. And I'm wondering why exactly. And why aren't we focusing more on our nursing homes and elder care facilities? You had the governor of New York demanding that positive patients be sent to nursing homes. Why exactly were they doing that? Why did that happen? We got real issues here that need to be dealt with. And all how much of political correctness is impeding our ability to do that? I think it's something that's got to be raised. But I also think what has to be raised is that there are ways to begin reopening the economy. Brian Kemp has largely shown the way in Georgia. He is actually showing stay at home unless you need to go out. And if you want to go out, take precautions. Wash your hands. Wear a face mask. Socially distance from other people. If you're in a group of people, keep it a small group of people. There are ways to go about doing this. And it looks like it's working. Now, we're probably going to see rates in Georgia go up. We probably are. Maybe we won't. I hope we won't, but we very well may as people start to lower their guard. But we also have summer. If summer ever comes, I'm beginning to wonder if summer is actually ever going to come. But I think it is. And I think we're going to be able to move on. Now, when we come back, we need to get into actual Georgia politics. You know, there's more to life than the virus. And I feel like I'm trying more and more to bring in other stuff. For a while there, it seemed like it was the only thing we could talk about. It's the only thing that was a topic. But now I definitely think it's time to move on. There is a campaign on. There is a presidential campaign on. There are also two Senate races in Georgia. And there is an attack out on David Perdue we need to get to when we come back. And also more in the polling on the Collins and Loeffler situation. And Doug Collins continuing to pick up steam around the state right now.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.